Welcome, Power Hour Nation. This is Jim Fetzer sitting in for Daniel. I'm just delighted to be back. I spent 35 years offering courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning, and since my retirement from the Duluth campus of the University of Minnesota, I've been engaged in collaborative research on a host of issues, not just JFK and 9/11, which I actually began even before my retirement, but on the death of Paul Wellstone, the events at Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. I have, of course, therefore, been demonized as a conspiracy theorist. And much of my purpose today is to explain that there's nothing wrong with conspiracy theories, that conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes, and that's why they want to shut us up. Crimes involved in 9/11, for example, lead back to the government, to the neocons in the Department of Defense, and to the Mossad. The assassination of JFK leads back to the CIA, the military-industrial complex, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Texas oilmen, anti-Castro Cubans. They don't want that information out. It's completely outrageous. So I have published a recent piece about this, not my first, but perhaps most comprehensive, What's Wrong with Conspiracy Theories, on the UNZ, UNZ Review, which in the 2 weeks it's been up has garnered over 850 comments, including a lot of those who want to defend the official narrative of 9/11. Other issues seem to draw less interest, but 9/11 remains an object of great controversy. And while the mainstream media wants to attack anyone who espouses a theory they don't like as a conspiracy theorist, we are nevertheless fed a constant stream of conspiracy theories by the mainstream media itself. Listen, for four years, after Donald Trump upset Hillary Clinton, we were given an endless stream of conspiracy theories about Russia having interfered in our election. There was never any evidence whatsoever. And in fact, something quite different appears to have been the case. The election was actually rigged for Hillary. There was a whole lot of fake reports about it, phony polling. They were even photoshopping events because Trump would be in Boca Raton drawing 50,000, Hillary in St. Petersburg drawing 500. So they'd photoshop to make it look as though Hillary's crowds were just as massive as Trump's. Meanwhile, they were seeking to steal the election, but the turnout for Trump was so massive, especially in rural counties, that you weren't able to pull it off. So while there has been a constant stream of denunciations that Trump stole the election in 2016 with the help of Russian interference, in the wake of 2020, when the Republicans are with far more justification alleging there were improprieties in that election across the board, especially in the key states of Arizona, of Michigan, of Wisconsin, of Pennsylvania, and of Georgia, for which there's overwhelming evidence, they're being denounced as conspiracy theorists by the very same group who are denouncing those who are defending those who claim that Russia had interfered as though that were legitimate when there's no evidence to substantiate it. I even published a book about it, exposing the Russia hoax. Whereas now we have massive amounts of evidence from Sidney Powell, from L. Lynn Wood, from Mike Lindell, from multiple other sources, what's going on in Maricopa County in Arizona, in Antrim County in Michigan, further confirmation of massive fraud. Let me give you an illustration just in relation to Arizona. Biden carried the state ostensibly by around 10,000 votes, but that's very odd. Arizona is a very strong pro-gun state. As we're going to see increasingly, the Biden-Harris administration is going to do its best to take our guns. They're going to demonize American gun owners as domestic terrorists. That's how they're going to do it. This is why you're hearing so much absurd nonsense about domestic terrorism being the number one issue, the threat to national security. Don't believe a word of it. Even if you look at the Capitol intrusion on the 6th of January, Donald Trump had nothing to do with that. And what happened there was done with the complicity of the Capitol Police. We have new video where they're inviting them in. I have other where you can see managers and directors telling them where to go. I even have video tracking up to the shooting, the alleged shooting of Ashley Babbitt, which appears to have been completely staged. When the officer fires, it doesn't sound like a real shot. It sounds like a blank, and the crowd doesn't flinch. There's no dodging, seeking cover whatsoever, none of the above. She wasn't presenting any kind of threat. She was climbing through a window. When she fell backwards, they laid her on the ground very gently. There were no signs of blood. There does appear to have been a packet of fake blood that she later smeared on herself. But when she was taken out by the shoulders and the feet, which is completely improper, no EMTs. The point I'm making is that we have a lot of reason to believe that the Capitol event on January 6th had nothing to do with Trump supporters. In fact, John Sullivan, a well-known Antifa leader, was photographed there wearing Trump garb. Even though you have reports claiming there's no indication anyone was there impersonating a Trump supporter. There's a prime example. In fact, his brother James, who politically is on the other side, said that John led 226 Antifa members into the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters. Now, you have to ask yourself, when you analyze a case like this in terms of motive, means, and opportunity, who would have had the motive? Bear in mind, it's been claimed this was to interfere with the counting of the votes, but that's not true. What was going on at the time was a discussion of evidence of electoral fraud. No one wanted to disrupt the discussion of electoral fraud more than Nancy Pelosi, who, guess what, just happens to be in charge of the Capitol Police. All these events at the Capitol began as early as 12:45 when we have calls for reinforcement, but Donald Trump was speaking at the Ellipse a mile and a half away until 1:11. And anyone who's ever been to a Trump rally knows no one's going to leave while Donald Trump is still speaking. Then they would have had to go a mile and a half to get to the Capitol. What this means is, although Trump supporters are being blamed, they were not responsible. And this is something for which there's copious evidence that the mainstream is not willing to share. More importantly, we have a general debate about the nature of conspiracy theories, including those who claim that conspiracy theories are inherently trivial and insignificant and distractions because they're untestable. It's not that they're false, but that they're unfalsifiable, meaning the truth or falsity of a conspiracy theory can neither be proven nor disproven. This would make conspiracy theories on an order with objects of faith, a classic example being the existence of God. All philosophers are generally in agreement the existence of God is an omniscient, omnipotent, omnibenevolent entity cannot be tested empirically or scientifically, especially because God is outside of space and time. Nothing outside of space and time is amenable to observation, experiment, or measurement, which are indispensable elements of scientific procedure. Analogously with a more contemporary version, the Force. All of us know the Star Wars videos. We have enjoyed them so much that appeal to an all-encompassing force. Well, there's no way to prove the existence or non-existence of the Force. But if it comes to a question like, was there a conspiracy in the assassination of JFK, the situation is completely different. We have excellent studies now giving us far more knowledge than was available at the time. But I believe among the reasons why most Americans, even on the day of the assassination, 22 November 1963, believe there had to have been a conspiracy, is that the two wounds to the president that were reported widely on radio and television that very afternoon and evening included a small, clean puncture wound to the throat, which Malcolm Perry, M.D., who had performed a simple tracheostomy incision right through that wound three times during the Parkland press conference, described as a wound of entry three times. And Malcolm Kilduff, acting press secretary, when he announced the death of the president, pointed to his right temple and said it was a simple matter of a bullet right through the head, attributed to Admiral George Berkeley, the president's personal physician, information that was also broadcast widely on radio and television. Such that later in the evening, when reports began to come in that the alleged assassin had been above and behind in the sixth floor window of the book depository, Frank McGee, who is nobody's fool, says, "This is incongruous. How can the man have been shot from in front, from behind?" And, of course, as the Warren Commission would have it, there were only three shots fired from that very window, with two hits and one miss. Most of you will not know originally three shots with three hits, that he was originally supposed to have hit Jack in the back, about 5.5 inches below the collar, just to the right of the spinal column, and then fired a shot that hit Connolly in the back, and then fired a shot that hit Jack in the back of the head, killing him. When it would turn out that a distant bystander by the name of James Tague had been injured by a bullet that hit the curbing, a fragment of which had actually cut his chin, leaving a scar, they had to subtract, since they were committed to three shots, if there had been a miss, which Tague seemed to prove in a manner that they could not dismiss. They had to reconstruct the scenario to account for all the shots using only two, where Gerald Ford, then a junior member of the commission, redescribed the wound to the back from the uppermost back, which was already an exaggeration, to the base of the back of the neck. So now they could claim the bullet entered the back of the neck, passed through the neck without hitting any bony structures, and exited the throat, thereby turning the wound of entry, the small, clean puncture wound to the throat, into a wound of exit and going into the back of John Connolly. Now, that shot is not described as a magic bullet for no good reason. David W. Mantic, MD, PhD, who is the world's leading expert on the medical evidence in the assassination of JFK, took a patient with similar chest and neck dimensions and created a CAT scan, and then plotted the official trajectory where the bullet is supposed to have entered and the bullet is supposed to have exited, and discovered it's not even anatomically possible because cervical vertebrae intervene, which is why Arlen Specter didn't actually ask physicians like Malcolm Perry during their testimony to the commission what they have observed and what inferences they had drawn from what they have observed, but instead posed to him a hypothetical question, namely, if we assume the bullet entered here, indicating the back of the neck, and passed through the neck without hitting any bony structures, exiting here at the throat, would that be consistent with describing the wound to the throat as a wound of exit? And of course, if you make those assumptions, it cannot be anything but a wound of exit, to which Malcolm Perry, in my judgment under distress, replied, yes, that was the case, but he was not in the position to vouch for or verify the assumptions he'd been asked to make, which he actually knew to be anatomically false. This is how the government has gone about trying to trivialize conspiracy research that leads back to governmental complicity as being somehow irresponsible and discredited. Well, it turns out that a study published in a social psychology journal, Frontiers of Psychology, What About Building 7, back in 2013, suggests that, on the contrary, those who are characterized as conspiracy theorists are more skeptical of what they're told by the government than they are enamored of specific alternatives, are more open-minded in the interpretation of evidence, less inclined to defer to officials as authorities, more inclined to look at the evidence, meaning the conspiracy theorists are far better at critical thinking and sifting and winnowing evidence and making assessments than are those who are attacking them. By virtue of my background as a philosopher of science, therefore, I have pioneered the application of principles of scientific reasoning to the study of conspiracy events, which entails the application of a four-step process or procedure, beginning with puzzlement. Something doesn't add up or fit into our background knowledge or evidence. Speculation, what are the possible alternative explanations? In the third place, how does the evidence adapt? Which hypothesis, if it were true, confer the higher probability upon the evidence? And fourth, what is the economy or simplicity or elegance with which the explanation is achieved when they satisfy to an equal extent the first three conditions? Well, it turns out that we have found that it's indispensable to sort out authentic evidence from fabricated evidence. For example, while all the physicians at Parkland agreed there was a fist-sized blowout at the back of JFK's head, the Warren Commission dismissed their reports and those of other witnesses in Dealey Plaza and even at Bethesda, where his body was taken to put it under military control, as having been mistaken on the basis of autopsy x-rays that did not show it. Mantic, who's board certified in radiation oncology, which is a treatment of cancer using x-ray therapy, entered the National Archives in late 1992 and discovered an area at the back of the skull that had been patched with material far too dense to be human bone. He outlined that area as Area P. So what they did was to fix the x-ray in order to defect or defeat the witnesses, the eyewitness testimony. They also massively edited the whole movies using the Zapruder film as their guide, where it occurred to me that while they blacked out the blowout to the back of the head in early frames, that they might have overlooked in later frames and discovered in frame 375 and 374, you can actually see the blowout to the back of the head. And when I juxtapose Mantic's Area P with a blowout, you can actually see in the back of the head there's a very close proximity. Though in the frames from the film, his hair slightly extends into the defect area, which is grayish blue. We all know about, you know, brains being described as grain matter. Well, there's a good reason for it. What this means is that while we're told conspiracy theories are untestable, that's simply a false claim. Not only that, but if you look just at theories more specifically rather than the general steps or procedures, there are four criteria that are classically used to evaluate scientific theories, where I advocate applying the same criteria to conspiracy theories, which include the following: the clarity and precision of the language in which they are expressed, their scope of application for the purpose of explanation and prediction, their respective degrees of empirical support on the available evidence, and the economy, elegance, or simplicity with which they satisfy those criteria. Let me add, when you talk about the clarity and precision of the language, Ilhan Omar has said in relation to 9/11, on 9/11, somebody did something. Well, it turns out that isn't an untestable claim. It's simply trivial because all things were going on 9/11. It's not explanatory in the least. It has virtually zero content. On the other hand, when the 9/11 Commission maintained that 19 Islamic terrorists commandeered four commercial carriers and perpetrated these atrocities under the control of a guy off in a cave in Afghanistan, they gave us a much more specific and precise delineation of the evidence that made it far more amenable to testability and potential falsification. And indeed, based upon research I've done in collaboration with others after founding Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005, I and my colleagues have been able to establish that all four of the airplane crash sites were fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways, and that the buildings, the Twin Towers in New York, unlike Building 7, did not collapse, but were blown apart in every direction, all the floors remaining stationary, waiting to be converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. And when it was over, there was nothing left. Unlike Building 7, which was a classic controlled demolition, 47 floors all came down at the same time, leaving a pile of debris equal to 12% of the original height. It was there. But in the Twin Towers, nothing was there. We'll be right back.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Theparamol.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at theparamol.com today.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at theparamol.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamol.com. That's theparamol.com.
If you eat your Manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamol.com. That's theparamol.com.
You know what my mission was when I started this, and I was so excited. I still am excited after 21 years. I said anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur Pure compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamol.com. That's theparamol.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Spring is here, and so are your allergies. That's why we have quercetin at a 15% discount, available at thepowermall.com. Quercetin, it's a potent antioxidant to support immunity and normal allergen response. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. 15% off quercetin this month only at thepowermall.com.
Now, the reason why a discussion of conspiracy theories matters to every one of you today is that we're being told that skepticism about the existence of the pandemic or its threat to our lives or resistance to taking the vaccines is just a conspiracy theory, that it has no basis in fact. We're being told by eminent figures like Bill Gates or Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, whom I believe will go down in history as the greatest of all mass murderers the world has ever known, where he's going to be responsible for more death and devastation than all the foreign adversaries the United States has encountered, including Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Emperor Hirohito combined. Because Fauci is telling us we need to wear masks, when I have study after study showing that wearing masks is very bad for human beings and other living things, including even from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. You can find them on my blog. Go to jamesfetzer.org. Do a search on masks. You'll find 6, 8, or 10. I mean, serious studies explaining why wearing masks is contrary to your best interests on multiple grounds, which ought to be obvious to anyone if they think about it. Wearing a mask recirculates oxygen-depleted air. That means your brain cells, among others, are being starved. When brain cells die, unlike skin cells, they do not regenerate. That means the damage to your brain is irrevocable, puts additional stress on your cardiovascular system. Not only that, but worse, you accumulate what would have been exhaled into the environment, all kinds of bad stuff coming from your body that you normally exhale to dispose of, which accumulates in your mask. To offer an illustration, Fauci himself and colleagues did a study of the Spanish flu and discovered, while the Spanish flu does appear to have killed tens of millions of persons worldwide, most of the deaths were not from the flu. They were from bacterial pneumonia infections. And guess what? Bacterial pneumonia infections are produced by or promoted by wearing face masks. Tony Fauci has known this forever. He knows this. We're also being told that HCQ and ivermectin are not appropriate, that they don't work. Well, we were just hit with a huge pandemic in India. And guess what the Indian authorities did to put it down? They made available ivermectin and HCQ, and it did the job. The reason Tony Fauci is suppressing information about ivermectin and HCQ is it does not promote the profit margins of big pharma. You got to understand, this medical business, it's an industry. It makes money. My surmise is the markup on these vaccines is at least as enormous as on soft drinks. You notice how Coke and Pepsi can afford to do so much marketing and promotion because their product is very inexpensive to produce. I would guess a can of Coke costs about a nickel to produce, but they sell it for a dollar. Similarly with these vaccines, they cost pennies to produce in mass quantity, but they're making big bucks. No wonder Bill Gates wants to vaccinate the whole world. No wonder they're talking about booster shots. No wonder they want multiple vaccinations. Every time you get a vaccination, that's money in their pockets. So why would you be surprised? Why would you be surprised if they have a powerful motive for wanting you to be vaccinated, whether you need it or not? Whether you need it or not. Now, we're told that these vaccines are supposed to be good for us, but that appears to be completely false. They appear to be very bad for us. There's a type called the mRNA that is in both the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine. And by the way, in terms of my background, I've been reporting on this pandemic from the beginning. At least last May of 2020, I did my very first, and I've done virtually daily reports about the coronavirus and the vaccines ever since. I have done hundreds and hundreds of reports. And because I'm processing what's coming in from multiple different sources, I have a very good idea of which of the evidence or reports we're being given are accurate and true, and which of the evidence and reports we're being given are not. And I'll tell you, among the leading experts out there are Catherine Austin Fitz, who's explained that what is being marketed here is not even a vaccine, that it contains ingredients that do not qualify as medicine, and that it should not, therefore, qualify for exemption from liability under the law that gave vaccine manufacturers such an exemption for their medication, particularly in a case such as this, where we were told they skipped the animal studies to expedite getting the vaccine on the market because the pandemic was so pressing. Well, let me say, as I reported in my very first comprehensive overview about the COVID pandemic, real or illusion, that if you looked at the mortality tables in the European countries where it was supposed to be raging, there was no increase in deaths. That's inconsistent with the existence of a pandemic. If you look at a study that recently slipped through the cracks at Johns Hopkins, which for the most part publishes what I believe could better be qualified as propaganda, this study showed no increase in any of the age groups in the United States. That study from past years, that study was complemented by the failure to have increased sale of oxygen tanks, which would be necessary if there were many hospitalizations. No increase in the sale of IV stands and IV drips, again, of necessity. And where we even have a report from the insurance industry explaining that there's been no increase in the insurance premiums. This is coming from an expert in mathematical modeling and accounting. No increase in insurance premiums. Now, that's very significant. Because if there were a bona fide pandemic, and of course the insurance industry to survive would of necessity have to change its premiums. But there's been no change in the premiums for the insurance company throughout the duration, which means the pandemic itself is actually an illusion. You might ask, well, what would be the motive for that? It appears the pandemic actually is the vaccines. It's not the virus. Yes, we're hearing endless stories about where the virus originated. Did it come from the Wuhan lab? It does, so far as I can discern, appear that virus research did begin in Fort Detrick, Maryland, before it was shut down. It then moved to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where I myself taught a year in the past. Then before it was moved to the Wuhan lab with funding, $3.7 million in funding, facilitated by Tony Fauci during the Obama administration. This is very serious stuff. Well, a lot of us have been very concerned about what we're seeing as side effects. There turn out to be a staggering number of deaths that are associated with these vaccines, on and on and on, debilitating side effects. I'll say more about it to follow. But get this. Mike Adams, who's been very much on top of this, has now just published a bombshell. Connecticut government secretly tells healthcare workers COVID vaccines are deadly, but withholds the same information from the public. Natural News. Today we bring you a shocking true story about COVID-19 vaccines, the government of Connecticut, and an open admission that vaccines contain dangerous, even deadly substances, spike proteins, that are documented and known to cause vascular damage to human beings. It's all admitted right in the open in these Connecticut government documents shown below, which admit these vaccines can be fatal. And he provides multiple links. Since Connecticut may remove these documents to conceal the truth, we're also mirroring these documents at naturalnews.com. Now, when he mentions spike proteins, this is very, very serious stuff. Sherry Tenpenny has been among the foremost to emphasize the danger from the spike proteins, which are promoted by these mRNA vaccinations. They actually change your DNA. They turn elements of your body into little protein factories that have an on switch but no off. And among the proteins that are produced are what are known as prions. For those of you who have ever heard of mad cow disease, know that prions are responsible for eating holes in the brains of cows. Well, the same prions are now being produced by these mRNA vaccines, as Sherry Tenpenny recounts their effects, where she describes these vaccines, specifically Moderna and Pfizer, as perfectly designed killing machines. Now, let me immediately add, I myself, like Bill Gates, am not a doctor. I'm not an MD. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. Bill Gates is not a doctor. He's not a virologist. He's not an epidemiologist. My advantage is I have a PhD. Bill Gates, so far as I know, does not. His experience with viruses was in relation to computers, where he made a huge amount of money off of his Windows system and so forth. And Microsoft, he's made a lot of money, rated the second richest man in the world after Jeff Bezos, who founded Amazon.com. Meanwhile, as Mike Adams is reporting, Connecticut admits COVID vaccines contain spike proteins and claims they are harmless, even while the Salk Institute confirms they can be guilty, deadly. In these documents, you will find astonishing admissions from the Connecticut government. For starters, review the graph below, which shows the Connecticut government falsely claiming the vaccine spike protein is harmless, even while the Salk Institute's published research reveals the protein damages cells. The research published in the journal Circulation Research concludes, we show that spike protein alone can damage vascular endothelial cells by downregulating ACE2 and consequently inhibiting mitochondrial function. As the Salk Institute further explains, this is the first study to show that the damage occurs when cells are exposed to the spike protein on its own. Thus, the government of Connecticut is lying to its own citizens and encouraging them to be injected with something that will cause widespread damage and even death. Mark my words. And of course, it is not just the government of Connecticut that is keeping this information from you. It is the mainstream media. It is the social networks. It is Facebook. It is Twitter. It is YouTube. I have had probably 100 of my videos about Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, and so forth taken down. I have had 6 of my books, where I publish this collaborative research, banned by Amazon.com. My books on Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing, believe it or not, have all been banned by Amazon.com. Because of a legal case brought against me to suppress access to the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which I had released to the public for free as a PDF, and where a friend who follows these matters has declared to me that it's been downloaded over 10 million times, a lawsuit was brought against me for a purported defamation, which has now constrained me from sharing that book with the public, and where they've used the same lawsuit against those who were providing it to download for free. The other books, however, on the Boston bombing, on Orlando and Dallas, on Charlottesville, on Parkland, on the moon landing, are all still available now at moonrockbooks.com. So I highly encourage you, check out moonrockbooks.com. The Boston bombing book may be especially telling because the case of Zocher Sarinov is now going to the United States Supreme Court, where I, in fact, have an amicus brief. I am one of 3 American citizens represented in an amicus brief to the Supreme Court on behalf of Zocher, demonstrating that the entire case against him was fraudulent, for the obvious reason that the backpacks he and his brother were wearing when they were actually photoshopped into the Boston Marathon footage do not match the backpacks that exploded. As the FBI concluded, and as even was introduced into evidence in the case against him in the federal court in Boston, the backpacks that exploded were relatively small black nylon backpacks with a white square sewn onto them. The backpacks that Zocher and his brother Tamerlan were wearing, however, were completely different. Tamerlan was wearing a very large baggy backpack that did not resemble those that exploded, and Zocher was wearing a silver or gray backpack. The backpacks don't match. You remember Johnny Cochran, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Well, if the backpacks don't match, Zocher didn't do it. In fact, the whole case against him was fraudulent. But in the course of doing my research, I had interaction with a retired professor of law now residing in Canada. And when I asked him what among the evidence we'd amassed did he find to be most powerful, he said that the backpacks don't match. And I think he's right, because it's so clear and unequivocal. You could argue about the photoshopping of them into the footage, about which I have no doubt, for reasons I'll explain on another occasion, but have in other videos I've done, that you might still be able to find at 153news.net, for example. Look for videos I've done on Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing, but also because it's so straightforward that it's impossible to refute. Once you see the difference in the backpacks, it makes it so obvious that he cannot have been found responsible. He cannot be guilty of the crime, even though the woman who has represented him by the name of Judy Carnes, actually, while she formally pled them not guilty in the opening statement in her first and second paragraph, she said they did it, exonerating or absolving the prosecution from having to prove what they could not have proven objectively because the evidence is so massive that it was concocted. Let me give you a clue. Even the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. And a second tweet, that one would be set off in a minute in front of the Boston Public Library. And lo and behold, a minute later, one of these puff bombs exploded in front of the Boston Public Library. And I say that as a former artillery officer in the United States Marine Corps. I do not believe these explosives were powerful enough to have killed anyone unless perhaps you were actually sitting on top of them. And when the camera peered in through the smoke, yes, you could see bodies lying there with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. As Dr. Lorraine Day, who is the head of trauma surgery for San Francisco General Hospital for 25 years, has observed, you cannot have limbs blown off by explosives and there be no blood. It's a physiological impossibility. Guess what? They used amputee actors. They used amputee actors. The blood only began showing up later. I initially thought it came out of a tube. It came out of little orange fake blood kits. A half a dozen or so were strewn around the area. So you see all this footage where they're lying there with no blood. And then when the blood shows up later, it's fake blood. It didn't come out of a tube. It came out of these little orange blood kits. Now, here's another that's going to blow your mind. I was very, very suspicious when we were told that in order to expedite getting these vaccines to the public, albeit on an emergency basis, that they had skipped, finessed the animal trials. I said, I don't believe that. I believe they did the animal trials, but the animals died. Well, get this. Texas is conducting hearings in the Senate. It was revealed recently during the Texas Senate committee hearing that COVID-19 vaccine trials in animals were stopped because they kept dying. This past week, the Texas Senate Committee on State Affairs took testimony from Texas physicians regarding mandatory vaccination and vaccine passports in Texas. The shocking revelation was made during the course of the Senate hearing that animal testing of COVID-19 vaccines was stopped because the animals died. Here's what was said during the hearing on May 6th. Did you see any other vaccine put out for the public that skipped the animal tests? Never before, especially from children. And as what I've read, they actually started the animal tests, and because the animals were dying, they stopped the test. Folks, I think it's important to understand what we're talking about is the American people are now the guinea pigs. This is the test program that's going on. They didn't do human testing. They stopped animal testing because the animals were dying. So guess what? They're doing the animal tests now on us, the American people. We are the guinea pigs. We are the subjects of the animal testing. And believe me, this is not good. Believe me, you want to do research. Each of us have to make these decisions for ourselves, but dig into it. Find out what Sherry Tenpenny is saying. Find out what Catherine Austin Fitz is saying. find out what the doctors who are seeking to speak out the truth are trying to tell the American people. Ask yourself, why should they be suppressed? Why should Google or YouTube or Facebook or Twitter block them from reaching the American people? And I tell you, it's because there's an agenda at work. Because we who do research, we who are being castigated as conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes. And they don't want us to solve the crimes because they lead back to the parties who were responsible. So they call us conspiracy theorists so they can pick and choose who the public should listen to protect themselves from exposure and being held responsible for the crimes they are committing. It's a sordid story, but it's one you must understand and appreciate. And I'm so pleased to be here today on the Power Hour with the Power Hour Nation to discuss it. I have more to report about a massive lawsuit coming out of Germany, and then I will be glad to take callers today. We'll be back after the break, but you'll be coming on momentarily. But I say, check it out. I have a BitChute channel, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. You can find my report. Need help on that. I'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.